concept of the arbor has always been on plan.
So the canopy itself is not a retractable canopy, just the panels on the sides, the roof of the canopy is permanent?
No, the only thing that's retractable really is, I mean, the acrylic panels can be raised that are located on the back of the canopy. They can be raised and lowered. There's also blinds to pull down to block the western sun. Also, we can do it at a certain time of the day of year. The only thing that's operable and openable is the top of the canopy, which is above the existing dining area.
For purposes of the plan, is that being calculated as part of the square footage of the building? Underneath the awning?
It is an accessory.
So is that a no?
No.
Okay. How many canopies like this have you designed?
A few.
This is some, the ones, the similar materials?
Similar western red cedar and umbrella canopy and retractable section, yes.
The same with the
First time I've used that product, the acoustical product.
Have you visited any sites that use it, or are you...
No, but research it is used for mechanical units between buildings, highways, to screen noise, to residential projects.
With regard to the games that are in the rear of the rear of the commons, is there any reason why the bocce court and the cornhole games are located on the north side, right outside the Nautilus building, rather than the south side next to the vacant area, or the vacant lot 3?
I guess we thought that the direct line from the building where the walkway didn't leave a lot of room on this side, and we pushed everything to the north side.
Would it be safe to say that if the bocce ball court was on the south side versus the north side, there'd be less noise to the Nautilus building due to the distance?
For being another 50 feet away, I would say yes.
Were there any changes in circumstances to the lot or the commons in general that would necessitate having bocce ball court and cornhole games in the back?
It really was the desire of the owner to put it there.
With regard to the trash enclosures, have you ever used that sort of chemical technology? Have you ever designed a system like that before?
No, it's first time for that as well.
Have you visited any other sites? Or
done some research on it and helped and spoke with the company on the product.
Are you aware of any other sites, though?
Yes, it's used in other places.
Can you name one?
No.
Are you aware of any changes among the circumstances regarding this plan or this property that require moving the garbage from the rear yard to the side yard?
Probably, I refer that to the operations.
Well, I'm asking him if he's aware, so.
No.
Thank you. As far as the sign, the new signage that's on the side of the building, the new Tommy sign that's going to be illuminated, that would be facing the Nautilus, that sign?
That would be facing north.
Which would be facing the Nautilus, correct?
The Nautilus is back, it's further west.
Okay, do you have any,
this
might be an operations question, I'm sure, but do you know what time the lighting or the sign will be illuminated?
It goes off, hold on.
Yeah, that was discussed.
Testify to already. 10 p.m., I believe, but let me look.
Big bad time as well as 4.
2 o'clock.
Is that...
No, we agreed to take the side sign off at 10 or something.
So you would agree to knock the lights off on the north side sign at 10 p.m.?
Yes.
I think that's all the questions I have.
Thank you.
There's a young man standing up that has a question.
Are there, any lights on the west side? With this whole new canopy?
Well, let's start on the building. Are there any lights on the west side of the building that you're aware of?
No.
Are there any lights on the canopy facing the west side that you're aware of?
No.
Spotlights at the corners of the building? No, they're not there, or no, you don't?
No, if we do any lighting, it'll be within the canopy.
Okay. And?
It may be some low-level lights, if it's dark before 10 o'clock, like a solar light along the walkway, but that's, I would think, the extent of it.
The, the question about the, are those all palm trees? These are all palm trees?
Seasonal plantings, yes, there already are some there.
So it'd be palm trees? So when they season, like, they'll switch out in the fall and spring, or will always be palm trees?
I'm not sure when you do it.
Palm trees won't live in the winter.
I'm aware of that, right.
What time do you?
Are you only doing palm trees ever, or are you gonna make seasonal? Seasonal means you're changing the trees out. What I'm saying is landscaping helps any sort of buffering, whether you realize it or not. So I'm basically saying, is there any reason why you can't add more permanent buffer type landscaping? Is there any reason why you can't at least put seagrasses and things like that all over the place that will help?
There's a reason, no.
No?
I have some, yeah, but don't I have some?
Listen.
Yeah, no, we have the,
We have this stuff.
He's talking about the west side, Tom.
Yeah, but this is gonna all be seagrasses.
Yeah, there's plantings, like boxwoods, give a little bit of a buffer.
Talking about real landscaping that will buffer, and I'm not talking about palm trees that are skinny.
We have a fence, we have a Leyland cypress buffer here, which is fairly mature.
Right, and what I'm saying is, this is a good job. You said you're adding more here, but you still have west. No matter what you think, it all goes west. So is there anything to delineate that other than seasonal palm trees?
Well, I think we're gonna have the soundproofing of the canopies.
Right, that's great, that's great. But you and I both know, there's hundreds of people that sit here.
Ask your question, you're gonna testify, we have to swear it.
Whatever, I'll swear whatever.
Are you testifying, or are you asking him a question?
What am I testifying to? That there's hundreds of people back there all the time?
No, no, I asked you if you're gonna testify or ask him a question.
I'm asking a question, is there any reason why there can't be more substantial year-round landscaping that stays up there as opposed to seasonal?
This is the view from the dining patio as it exists.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it's gonna be like when you're in the behind the arbor.
The answer is no. I'm gonna put in the seasonal palm trees, I'm gonna have the flower beds, and then I'm gonna swap them out every year. The whole purpose of this canopy, at great expense, and we've all the plants and everything else.
I'm not talking about canopy.
Is to keep the noise in.
You proved the soundproofing.
Wait, one at a time. Let him finish, then you can.
What I'm saying is that this whole purpose of this whole thing is to try and keep the noise inside.
Right.
So it's gonna close at 10, I got a canopy to keep the noise inside that. Do you think a few trees are gonna stop whatever else leaks out?
All right, I specifically asked about this, I didn't ask about the canopy.
I said no, don't be up to me.
Well, you know, actually, you don't live there, you just work there, and the noise doesn't come to you, it goes out.
Okay, you solemnly swear a testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And the testimony you just gave?
Yes.
Okay.
What's his name and address? The record.
You want to take over my job, come on up?
You do need it.
Yep.
Never hear me.
Just state your full name and address, please.
Mark Brown, 65 East River Road, Unit 20 in Rumson. Anything else?
No. You have the floor.
So, sound does go through. A conversation like this, whether you want to believe it or not, is magnified going across the river, okay? And having worked on and developed properties across the river, I'm familiar with the landscaping, what helps from a neighborly point of view. So I do know what I'm talking about in terms of additional landscaping. Boxwoods and skinny palm trees don't delineate anything out here, okay? The sound of kids playing in the bocce court magnifies. People standing at tables magnify, okay? You know what this means right here without trying to, Listen, short of you putting up a highway, turnpike wall to block this off, there's gonna be sound there. So to ask, I'm sorry?
The wind blows?
I'm sorry?
If the wind is blowing to the east, the sound is not traveling across the river.
Okay. You're wrong.
There is no wind.
Okay.
All right.
There's no argument, honestly.
If you have any further questions.
Neither one of you have our experts on it.
You're not an expert, so.
Yeah.
But, okay, so there's, you know, there's no real reason then that.
Your request is that you want additional landscaping, is that the gist of it?
There's gotta be, exactly.
That's your request?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
You have heard that?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Please state your name for the record.
Jeanette Kingman, 36, Waterview Way, Seabright. Seems to me what's happening is.
Are you gonna testify also?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear a testimony you're about to give is truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Why don't we do this? We're gonna finish with the architect. Then you'll be more than welcome to make a statement, but we haven't finished with him yet, unless you're asking him a question.
No.
We've kinda gotten off track here.
No, but we have all these questions that don't really deal with the basic issue here.
Well, ask your question.
Ask your question.
No, I'm saying we have all these questions, but they're not dealing with the issue. I wanna testify, I don't wanna ask.
Okay, well, just give us a minute, and you can be first to testify.
Go ahead.
Is there any other questions about the testimony of the witness? Yes, Ron?
I have one additional question. I just wanna clarify one thing. My understanding is that between the outdoor dining to the rear and the outdoor dining to the east, there's, I believe, a total of 104 seats, correct?
Correct.
So 104 seats for people to sit, eat, and drink. And then, of course, there's also a bar in the interior of the building. And how, what is the capacity of the bar, if you know?
Legal capacity, obviously, is 195.
Not what, the bar does not seat 195.
No,
Seats at the bar. Seats at the bar is what you're asking?
I'll tell you, I think he's done, you've combined them, correct? So roughly 85 to 90 at the bar and 104 seating?
It's not that many, no, it's.
50?
Maybe.
Okay, so let's say 50 at the bar.
And 8 at the back bar.
Okay, so a total of perhaps 150 people sitting, eating, and drinking, correct?
Correct.
And what you're proposing in this rear yard area, which we say at a very minimum, you could have 75 people out there eating and/or drinking, you're basically increasing the capacity of this facility by 70 to 80%, aren't you?
No, we're not serving them.
But you're counting food out there.
We have to get them inside.
I understand that.
We need to see inside first, I guess.
Why wouldn't they just simply go to the service at the bar?
You have to ask Mr. Bontrager.
I don't know any way they can do that.
Mr. Bontrager, you wanna ask a question?
You said you had one question, Ron.
Mr. Bontrager, will you stipulate that you will not serve, allow people to buy food by just standing at a, they have to have a seat at a table to buy food? Or at the bar?
There's no mechanism for the.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
I didn't hear the answer to the question.
There's no mechanism for people to get food without being.
So whoever goes outside.
Has to give up the seat on the inside.
Will have to get up from the inside and walk outside.
Which is, happens, they, people have children, the children go outside, the parents stay at the table. There's five empty seats and there's five kids in the yard.
But your testimony is that people who are sitting at a table inside can order food, have it delivered to the table, and then walk outside.
But they have to keep the seat at the.
Yeah, well, they have to give up their table seat?
No, because they have to pay for the food, they can't just take their food up.
Okay, how about people who wanna just get a drink, can they walk up to the bar, get a drink and walk outside?
Yes, they can.
So you're basically increasing the use of the drink capacity of this bar by at least 70%, aren't you?
Objection.
We're not increasing it.
Objection. Where'd you get the 70% from?
Well.
Where'd you pick that number from?
Well, first of all, there's board members who say they saw an excess of 100 people there. He's testified that the way he's laid it out, it can accommodate.
There's been no testimony.
At least 75, so that's a 70% increase.
Any foundation laid at all based upon the 70%?
Are there any other questions for the witness? If not, thank you.
Thank you. Next witness, Chairman.
Next witness.
John Jar.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask, what time does the assembly is here to go off to, if I may ask?
I'd like to stay all night and get this done, either way, but we usually don't take more testimony, new witnesses after 10.
Mr. Jarrett, you need to be sworn.
You solemnly swear the testimony you are about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
John Jarr, J-A-H-R.
Your credentials, please.
My name is John Jarr. I'm the principal of Petrie Traffic Engineering. I've been a traffic consultant for 27 years. I have a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from Rutgers University. I'm a licensed professional transportation planner. All of my credentials are in good standing and up to date. I currently serve as a board traffic professional for at least 10 different communities in New Jersey right now as their board representative. I testified previously to this board on this application.
Unless there's any objection from the board, we'll accept his credentials.
Any board here?
I have no objection.
All right. No.
Just for the benefit of our court recorder, can you tell her how to spell Petrie Traffic Engineering?
P-E-T-R-Y.
Okay, Mr. Jarr, you testified in this matter several years ago at the initial inception of this application.
Yes.
When obviously it was a abandoned site, so to speak, after Hurricane Sandy. There was... prior to Hurricane, there were three homes in the back. There was a series of retail establishments along the front. And there was a gasoline station next door and a convenience store next door, correct?
Yes.
Obviously, a lot has changed since the night you first testified here. The houses in the back are gone.
Yep.
The various retail operations along the front are consolidated to one Tommy's restaurant.
Yes.
The gas station's been removed. The canopy's been knocked down. The convenience store's been knocked down.
Yes.
Okay. At the time of the initial approval, there was a substantial parking variance granted by the board. I believe 135 spaces is up there.
Yes.
And at that time, you testified before the board as to only available public parking in the public parking spaces, parking lots in the borough of Seaford. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. You also testified as to the various demands imposed to which attracts a gas station and convenience store. And tonight I've asked you to take a look at the differential in terms of impact. Let's take Lot 5, for example, to begin with. We start off on a site with a gas station and a convenience store, correct?
Yes.
It's a 24/7 operation, as I recall. And now it's turned into a parking lot to accommodate what could be up to 29 vehicles, assuming that the board approved what the borough plan would be. In terms of aspects of intensity of use on Lot 5 versus what it was and what it is proposed to be as an accessory parking lot to a restaurant, do you have an opinion on it?
Yes, certainly. This is one of the rare occasions where the traffic engineer gets to come to the board and says there's going to be less traffic. So I would say to a certain extent there's a common sense element to this. So previously you had a gas station with a convenience store on the lot next door. That's obviously going to be removed. And that gas station attracted trips. People would come to go get gas there. They would come in and out of the driveway. They would not necessarily, they come from the nearby area, most likely residents or people nearby. So previously the gas station in the AM peak hour would generate about 68 trips. In the PM peak hour, about 80 trips. And on Saturdays, about 40 trips during the peak hour. Overall, the ADT, that's the average daily total of traffic, the total number of vehicles that would come and go from the facility, ITE estimates at around 700. So overall, in one day, so over a 24-hour period.
For the prior use.
So overall, there's a reduction in traffic that would be going here. Okay, so because you have the existing restaurant use, and obviously this parking lot is being, put together and built there to facilitate, his party room or, the existing restaurant use to a certain extent. The
what we have
here comes to such as less traffic.
What we have is a situation, really, the intensity of the use of that has an impact to neighbors, even the Norwoods, for that example,
yes,
is much reduced. Would that be a fair assessment?
For sure, yes, because there's going to be 700 less vehicles going to that site every day.
And obviously this Lot 5, it will be dedicated strictly to the use accessory parking lot for the restaurant.
Yes.
Okay. And in relationship to some earlier testimony and discussion in terms of access by trash vehicles to pick up trash, do you see any unnecessary delay associated with that from a traffic perspective as to how that would be handled on an every other day basis, depending on what the needs are as far as comparing any exit from the Norless property?
No, it would be my opinion that the proposed parking lot and easement circulation is adequate and safe and should not have any significant change to what was there, especially previously with the gas station. Okay.
And in terms of the second floor now, we have proposed a private dining area for parties consisting of 80 seats. And our proposal could be up to 29 additional spaces in terms of serving the additional needs of the restaurant and existing needs of the restaurant. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Now, in terms of how you analyze the parking vis-a-vis what we're providing and what's available in the municipality to all the retail operators, how do you assess the parking in terms of what the board granted as far as variance, what we're proposing, and what exists today?
I think we should take those one at a time, but
go right ahead.
I think for simplicity, the adding the parking lot next door makes it basically a wash for the party room area. Based on your ordinance, the party room would require 26 parking spaces. The new parking lot with the new design, which I think is excellent, will provide 29 parking spaces. So essentially, you know, from a parking standpoint, it's a wash. So, in fact, they'll be providing a few extra more, you know, a few more spaces. So, based on the original variance granted by this board, the only thing that comes to question is, you know, is there a need for, you know, for parking for any other uses or any other changes that are happening on site?
Now, in terms of what is proposed for the rear of the site, we have existing dining, and bearing in mind, we're talking about a seasonal operation for the exterior, right? Right. Talking about the seating in the front, which is 54, seasonal.
Right.
Not in existence in December, obviously. 50 in the rear, seasonal again. The rear yard, seasonal, basically May through September.
Right.
Okay. So we have it, we have the Jersey Shore. We know what the impact of traffic is, wherever it lives along the Jersey Shore.
Exactly.
Obviously, in terms of accommodating that need, we have an area where people can now come in, wait for their table, get away from the front of the restaurant area where it's clogging up the hostess area. Mm-hmm. And generally, from your perspective of looking at this, is it not basically the same people that are here will be here? This is not attracting another so-called separate 79 people, is it?
It would clearly, based on the testimony from the owner, all right, and the use that we see it, the idea of that back area is not to attract more people or additional traffic or additional parkers. All said and done, the use of this facility, because it's seasonal, especially this backyard area and the outside seating areas, is absolutely is going to be self-policing. There's only so much parking available in this area in the summertime. I've been here. I've come here since I was a small child. All right. This is absolutely going to be self-policing. There should be no increase in the need for parking because of this, because the people are already there. They can't get food to go out into this area to use it. They have to have a table anyway. So it's very well, you know, it's pretty well monitored. I think that it is a beautiful area. I mean, I was able to come over the summer. It would be really nice to be able to see people being, you know, out there to enjoy the view and whatnot. But from a traffic standpoint, it's very difficult to quantify it, but I really don't see this as being a big generator of traffic, this backyard area, or a big change in the parking need. The parking is constrained by what's available here already. The number of people that can come to this restaurant is already constrained by what you have in town, by the parking that's available across the street, by the parking that's available nearby. The amount of people that are going to come to this restaurant, it's already at its max. It's where it's going to be. By adding these amenities to this use, I just don't see it as being a big generator of traffic. So, in general, the traffic is limited by what's already here. and the people are walking across, you know, for the most part, they're coming to the parking lot across the street, they're enjoying their beach, they're enjoying being here in Seabright. It's a beautiful place to come in the summer. In the wintertime, this area is not going to get used, it's too cold. And if it does, good for them, because there's plenty of parking in the wintertime. You know, and having a little more traffic in the wintertime probably would be a good thing. In the summer, it's absolutely self-policing.
John, in terms of the operator's willingness to shut this rear area down at 10 o'clock, so you're not really attracting the late crowd, so to speak, to come in here, come in to drink, so to speak.
Yep.
The younger crowd tends to go out a little bit later at night.
Exactly.
They tend to go to places that stay open later. But the elimination of this rear area at 10 o'clock eliminates that desire for people to travel to this destination after 10 o'clock to sit in a rear yard and drink, right?
It's going to my point of self-policing. And if you close the area at 10 o'clock, that's when the parking starts being available again. So by closing it at 10, you're eliminating any increase in the use or need for traffic or parking.
You looked at the number of parking spaces in the municipal lot?
Yes.
And how many are there?
Oh. Those are details from the last from our last get together. I actually have that number. If you give me 1 second, I get my notes. And I have a full breakdown. All right. The municipal lot at my last count was 529 spaces. There are 478 spaces plus or minus in the parking lot itself and 51 spaces on street. I actually have the, you know, I can kind of go from, I can tell you where they all are, too. I went and
I think they're probably familiar with it.
You're probably more familiar with it than I am.
So there are over 500 spaces
yes.
in the municipal lot.
Yep, 478 in the lot,
471
on the street.
51 on the street.
Yes.
And then we have the additional on lot 5.
Yes, that lot 5 is an addition to the parking supply of the area. Yes.
So in your opinion, then, you feel based upon this proposal, with the second floor dedicated to private parties, not an everyday occurrence either.
Right.
The seasonal dining to the rear and to the front, and also the seasonal aspects of the rear yard, based upon the parking variance previously granted, based upon the public parking available on the street and in the lots, and what we're providing in addition thereto, you feel it's more than adequate to handle the needs of the restaurant.
Absolutely. I think that the parking provided, the parking available, and the use of this facility is absolutely accommodated by the parking in the town. And I also would like to say further that I do not feel there will be any increase in traffic, except that which would be the party room, which I think, once again, is the owner is going to be subject to making that work. I wouldn't suspect he's going to schedule parties when we're at the peak season.
So operations can control that.
Operations can control that.
Obviously, seasonal nature of the rear yard. Obviously, even this summer, if you have a rainy weekend.
Yeah, traffic's all good on this one.
Okay, thank you. I've nothing further with this at this time.
Board members, questions?
The gas station, I don't think it was open 24 hours.
Well, I tell you, I used to pull in there for gas pretty late.
It's kind of hard to remember for sure. I spoke with some folks at the county and asked them about it, and there was a kind of a mixed bag. They seemed to feel that they were allowed to open 24, but I think as business went down, they eventually went to closing up late at night. I think initially they probably had a 24-hour okay.
If they were doing 700 cars a day, they would rebuild the gas station.
Yeah. Well, the reason why the gas station's gone, if you built a new gas station there, that's how much could go there. That, I mean, that's what the national standards say that would be, and it's not too unreasonable. You know, if you look at what like a Wawa or something, that'd be even more than that. We're looking at I'm currently studying those right now.
Have you ever done any studies in a municipal situation like this where there are 20 or 30 businesses that all are relying on this 500 spots? What is fair to everybody? Has there ever been a study on if one starves out everybody else's ability to park in the town? Has that ever been considered or studied?
Well, you happen to be talking to the right guy, because that's my primary area of expertise, is serving municipalities as their traffic engineer. And yes, I've done a number of studies. Actually, right now, I'm in the midst of a couple of them. And it is very, very viable part of the towns. When towns are aggressively seeking development and aggressively seeking to keep their downtown vibrant, it's part of what you need to do is to, and this would be something that your town engineer would do, would be to stay on top of this by studying the parking that you have. And you're, because you're a shore community, the rules are a little different, because really what you want to do is you want to try and encourage businesses that are going to be here over the wintertime. A lot of businesses in the shore community want to close up shop, go home. That's kind of bad for the town. All right, it, you know, it takes some of the vibrancy away. It takes some of the, you lose revenue, you lose rateable when they close up the sidewalks at 6 o'clock at night. So, answer your question, yes. The other part of your question is, by all means, the town should absolutely be thinking about that. If they want to keep the downtown vibrant and you want to keep the community growing and keep the businesses here, you need to do those kinds of things. You need to study the parking, you need to study the traffic, and you need to stay on top of this, because traffic is a very important element, as we're only now learning. I don't think 20 years ago we realized this, all right? And so, yes, the answer is these are done all the time, and it's something that gets done on a town-wide level.
I'm just thinking that, and he has a wonderful business. Everybody loves it. It's a great place. God bless you. You're doing great. But I don't want to strangle everybody else in the town with his success. And it's also not fair to take away his success either. But I mean, as a planner in the town and considering the rest of the town, we have to take that in consideration.
He is approximately at the end of the municipal parking lot. Okay, so he would be a business, you know, that would be where you would kind of set you, if you were going to do a study in your downtown area, he would be sort of on your outside limit. Okay, the businesses that obviously are going to have more of an impact on the immediate parking demand, primarily for beachgoers, are those that are located more inboard. Yeah, you have to establish study area. Okay, and this, and each business would have their own impact on that study area. Tommy, being a little bit further out, probably has a little less impact than those people who are further in. The further you go from the main, your central node, which is, we're a little bit on the other end of the node. So Tommy's is you know, further away from us, you know, essentially to the, I guess we call him to the
north,
yeah, and we'd be to the south. All right, so as you go from the central node out, those businesses in the central node, they have the stronger demand for the parking and take up more of the spaces that are more viable for the beach use, for the other users in that area. As you go further and further away, the demand that they have on the central core parking gets less and less, but it becomes more of a fact that, well, it's all busy here, so they park in the lot, go to the beach, and then they'll walk a little bit further. So hopefully that answers the question, or helps give you some guidance.
Well, I think you're kind of missing it, is allowing one business to grow so big that it takes over all a majority of the parking compared to all the other businesses that don't have the ability to get their customers in there, and then they go out of business.
Maybe I can guess this one. John, Seabright's rather unique in the sense that we have beach clubs with summer orientation. Those beach clubs have some parking themselves. We also have a public beach. And people come to the public beach, and they come to the private beach for us. They utilize the public parking. Most communities probably don't have that.
Right.
So in other communities would not have that. Tommy's would be a destination where someone would drive directly to Tommy's to go there.
Right.
But in this instance, particularly in the summer, you have people at beach clubs already. So that car could very well be there from the morning right on through all day long. Right.
Right.
So that's something that you consider from a traffic standpoint, from a parking standpoint, is that correct?
Yes. So yeah,
it's unique.
Right, it's unique in that respect. Yeah, Tommy's is, during your peak times, Tommy's is really not the destination, the beach is the destination. He becomes a secondary user. All right, it's in your off-peak times that businesses like his actually tend to help the community by creating vibrancy, you know, over the winter times and you know, those times when it's off-peak. And it works out well. He can his business grow so immensely that it can have a negative impact on the beach? I doubt it.
Well, I'm thinking of the other businesses.
Well, I suppose anything's possible. I think that would be the wrong person to ask that question. There's more of an economic
impact. Seabright will only be Tommy's and nothing else.
Yeah,
God bless. We'll take the whole town, Tommy's town.
Shouldn't you be opening another restaurant soon?
There's a lot of successful businesses.
Yeah, most of your restaurants are not the only one.
Jug is there for a very long time.
They filled a lot of places down there.
And nobody's really gone out.
Well, you know, we have Mad Hatter coming in now larger. We have, all the facilities are coming back. They're coming in larger and larger and larger, and we're getting strangled with not having the ability to park. Winter doesn't matter, obviously, but if those
we're,
months
we're
of the
fortunate,
summer.
In a sense.
Is it a bad planning aspect for us to keep allowing an individual business to keep getting larger and larger and larger, which may hurt other businesses?
We're fortunate because McLoone's is much further north and doesn't have that public parking. So they have a, you know.
And he has a lot of trouble.
We're fortunate. We're fortunate because we have the public parking available. Especially in the off season. We have more than enough parking.
John, I have a concern. I don't know if you could address it at all. It's people walking across the street, in the middle of the street. And I know once I almost hit somebody because it was dark out. They had dark clothing on and they went out through the cars. How could you address it so people would go to the, have the people go to the crosswalks or not walk through the middle of the street? In the summertime, they're all crossing in the middle of the street and
this
traffic backs up.
But we do. All right. So we were asked at the ask the DOT for another crosswalk on across 36.
Good.
So we did send a letter to DOT to make requests. We haven't heard back from them yet.
It's a mid block. Explain it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So Marty points out very clearly, mid block crosswalks are very, very difficult to get. All right. NJDOT is not in favor of them. You do have a unique community. All right. They will investigate it. We did make the request. So we'll have to wait and see what they come up with. It's not an easy sell, okay? All said and done, just a little bit past here is a bona fide crosswalk at a cross street.
Right, but nobody goes to it. They're too lazy to walk 10
feet. It's you know something. It's human nature, and it's a real challenge. And sadly, you know, my father was a policeman for 25 years, and when I said to him, "Geez, why don't you write jaywalking tickets?" he thought that was pretty laughable. Mm-hmm. The problem is the police would like to be good guys, and people don't realize that they can actually get you can get a ticket. For just you can do that. You can take it for that.
Is it possible to have signs in the restaurant or outside or by the entrance? Please cross at the crosswalks.
It would. There certainly could be. You know some. But again, it's bear in mind.
People don't.
Tell you that we could do that because that's NJDOT jurisdiction. Quite frankly, that would be more of something that you need to bring to the municipal engineer. Okay, that issue certainly transcends Tommy's. Okay, yeah. It's really
right.
Bigger than
but
Tommy.
It does block.
It would be something that the municipal engineer right. should bring to this, because remember, you have a state yeah. highway. So the right thing to do in this case would be to have your municipal your planning board engineer could communicate with your municipal engineer, and they could discuss this, that you brought it up here. All right, I do this on all the boards I work on.
It was okay. brought up, actually, it was brought up in the hearings. Earlier, we went in for a amended site plan, and we were asked to write that letter to DOT, request a mid-block crosswalk, and we've done that. So it's up to DOT to give it to us.
Does it come with lighting? I mean, do they usually have supplemental lighting when you have a mid-block, or is that just...
You could ask for it. It's something that can be considered. DOT will, you can provide lighting calculations and put lighting for DOT standards.
Is it typically based on volume, or just who knows, right?
Well, no.
They do not favor mid-block crosswalks.
Well, I understand that part. Yeah.
But there are certain things, in Freehold, we did believe it or not, and Red Bank did the same thing.
Well, it's a River View Hospital. Yeah. They have the
right.
crosswalk
yeah. Exactly.
There.
So there are certain
things. People hit the button and it lights up.
Right. We did a bicycle, got some grant to do some bicycle mm-hmm. safety thing, and that recommended, mm-hmm. and that was, so that was just a different arm of the mm-hmm. DOT mm-hmm. that worked on that. You know, they don't talk to each other, so, yeah. but we could show them that one of their little fingers said we should have it, and then,
gotcha.
So I mean, but you've got to give support for it.
Understood.
A lot of support.
Okay. You okay?
That's I just wanted to bring it up. I just wanted to be noted.
Good.
Yeah.
Good observation. Agreed.
Excuse me, those things in the road, those little signs that say, yield to their traffic.
Well, they're more for cars.
It says within, I know, but
yeah.
people walk across the street and they think cars have to stop from mm-hmm. wherever. They're on their phone. They just,
it's true. And it does back up the traffic behind it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, it causes danger for both. Right. The pedestrians taking their life in their hands. Yeah. And also, the guy that's driving the road, oh my God, he slams the brake and the other guy, goes into the back.
Any other questions from the board? Gentlemen, you have
Questions?
Hi, Ron, how are you?
Good.
Jar? Good to see you, Mr. Gazarovski.
Big boy, so happy to see you.
You are. I make your pocket square, don't you? No, I think that's a very appropriate thing. I don't have that color.
Let me ask you this question. Have you made a determination as to exactly how many parking spaces are available in the municipal parking lot or lots in Seabright?
That all depends when you come.
579.
There are municipal parking lots in Seabright, are they not?
Yes.
And they are all limited with lanes of parking.
Yes.
You made a determination. I don't know about what time of the year it was, but just physically, how many parking spaces are delineated in those municipal lots?
478.
Okay.
Yeah, 529 total, 478 in the lot, 51 on the street.
Okay. Now, did you also perform any study to analyze those businesses that are present in Seabright that do not have on-site parking? What their percentile of parking in those 478 lots would need to satisfy their parking needs?
No.
You have not done that?
No.
Okay. Have you factored into your figures the most recent approval of the Mad Hatter, which I believe has a requirement for in excess of 100 parking spaces and basically none on the site?
No.
Okay. So how can you opine as to whether or not the municipal parking is adequate to service the needs of all of the businesses which are located in Seabright? You can't
do that. I'm going to object because he did not opine just based upon that.
No.
He did not base his opinion based upon that. He based it on several factors.
What he really did was give a net opinion. Okay, that's what he really did. So my question is, how did you come to the mathematical conclusion that there is sufficient parking in the municipal parking lots to satisfy the needs of all the businesses in downtown Seabright, including the Mad Hatter and Thomas?
I don't think he said that.
I don't believe I've said that.
He did not say
that. Okay. But what he did say was that this particular business received a parking variance initially, that their amendment to this plan requires additional parking for the second floor, and he felt that that additional parking was met by Lot 5.
And I understand that as well. But in addition to the parking on Lot 5 for the 25 spaces, the testimony is that in addition to those patrons who are inside the building, there will also be patrons outside the building in the rear yard area. Would you take that into consideration?
Yeah, and it was my opinion that those patrons are already at the restaurant or already on site, and they're really not bringing new cars to be parked.
So you believe that all the people who will be drinking out back are people who are already dining in the restaurant and simply walking out back to have a drink or finish a drink?
I would say, yeah, I agree. Okay. That's what I would think, yeah.
You're all set. No questions for me.
Okay.
We're going to open to the public, and since it's after 10, why don't we ask questions of the witness? If you have any questions of the witness, if not, we'll open it to the public so you can all make a statement. Or is there any questions for the witness so we can let him go? If not, thank you, sir. You're first.
Okay. Did I already swear anyone?
I'm sworn in and everything.
Okay, just say your name again for the...
Jeanette Kingman. Jean Kingman.
I did swear you in, right?
Right.
Okay.
It seems to me what we're being asked to do here is, instead of one restaurant, is to now have three restaurants. We had enough trouble with the one restaurant. Tommy's was obviously designed, when it was designed, to use that backyard. Otherwise, there would not be a service bar where there is. And if you look, there are more sound things back there than there are in the rest of the restaurant. And then you've got that garage door. I understand you approved the garage door. Well, I'll never know, but you did approve it. It seems to me that the problem with Tommy's is the noise and the number of people. allowing people to stand in the backyard is not a good idea. They should wait in the front the way they would in any other restaurant. What happens is when they get there and there's no table available, people go to the back, then more people come in, and instead of seeing a group waiting, where then they can judge whether they want to wait that long, there's nobody waiting. They too go in the backyard. It encourages more people, not like what he was saying, to come to the restaurant. I certainly wouldn't go into a restaurant if I saw 15 people waiting in line. But if I don't see anybody waiting in line, they're all in the back.
Maybe just stop you one minute. Mr. Bonfiglio, when people approach your hostess, are they advised as to the wait time?
Yes.
So they just don't walk up and book a table out?
And the majority of people, after the wait reaches a certain time, a half hour, 40 minutes, everyone starts leaving, and we fill Woody's calls us up and says, how long is your wait? Because then he can prepare for his place getting full.
Right. So but I know if I go, and the wait time is long, I would leave. Right. But if I go, and I know I can take a drink and go stand in the back, that's a whole different story, isn't it?
People still don't like waiting.
Well, she's up here just making a statement. Let her make a statement. She has interesting points.
This is my thing. And the noise is created by that garage door and the bar right there, which makes it a whole center. If you're going to allow these courts and everything, you're going to allow the noise. It's good that we're gating it at 10. I think that's terrific. But I don't think they should be standing there. There should only be the tables that are out there. I would like to see those tables shut before 10, but okay, if that's 10. But to just give him, and leave the garbage where it is, why create a playground for him? He's got a good thing going. He's making a fortune, God bless him, but we don't have to give him everything.
Thank you. Gene, I have a quick question, right? Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And I'm sympathetic to the impact that this Tommy's restaurant has had on the Nautilus. And I was there, and when the back was filled at its peak up, you know, I would go up on your walkway to see how much of an impact it had. So I'm pretty familiar with that first summer that it opened. But don't you think that the effort they've gone to enclose that back dining area you were saying about the overhead door and the problem of the noise and the dining patio?
If they change the door.
What is your opinion on the canopy, the noise absorption, the drop down curtains? I mean, to me, I think they're going a long way to, you know, help a big part of the problem. I mean, this is a separate issue of the back lot. I'm just asking you about the canopy and enclosing that back dining area.
I think the canopy is good, and if it's noise, keeps the noise somewhat down, I think that's good. I think the gate for 10 o'clock is good.
Right.
I think the reason you get so many people back there is because of these standing tables and the drinks.
Right, that's, I understand your concerns
you
about the backyard,
that, eliminate a lot
but
of the
you agree that the canopy and the efforts that they're making to reduce all that back dining noise is a benefit to the Nautilus.
It is a benefit, it's better than nothing.
And do you see the private parties in the front being a distraction or the additional parking? I mean,
you mean up the stairs?
In the front, on the second floor. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, I think that's another restaurant.
Well, it's...
And of course it's going to be
It's the same floor. Restaurant, but do you think that has a negative impact?
Sure.
Really? Okay.
It's, you know, you've got a lot of traffic there now. If you go to Tommy's now in December, you know...
No, he's done very well.
He's done very well. But obviously, if he has these other things, it's going to be triple.
Thanks.
And this town doesn't need it. They still only pay income taxes on the building.
Property tax.
Anyone else in the audience?
At least have him change the door. If he changes the door, that would help. But don't give him anything unless he changes.
Is there anyone else in the audience? Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Is this a question or a witness, or I'm asking a question?
Now you can make a statement.
All right,
is he a member of the Nautilus Condominium Association?
I own a condominium at Nautilus. Okay. Without objecting.
Okay, but why don't you?
He has an attorney.
Okay, I'm going to get this out. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear a testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Can you state your name?
Dennis McLenn, unit number 9 at the Nautilus.
M-C-G-L-Y-N-N?
Knock off the G.
McLenn.
M-C-L-Y-N-N.
Okay.
Very few of us.
You own a unit at the Nautilus?
Unit 9.
You don't preside there? Are you familiar with Mr. Lapari? Can you discuss with him? Have you discussed with him any of your questions or issues?
Not recently.
Okay. You're obviously a member of the association at Nautilus, correct?
I'm not a board member.
No, you're not a board member. You elect the board members?
Yes.
And you participate in that? You have the right to do that and
yes.
participate as in electing the board members?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Lapari, you want to make a
Yeah, I just want to repeat now? What I stated earlier. I represent the Condominium Association. I take direction from the Board of Trustees. He's not a member of the Board of Trustees. It's a very small community. I think it would be in the board's interest that they hear from everybody who is negatively or positively impacted from the application or from Tommy's as it's currently constituted. There's no better person to hear from than somebody who lives right next door, and I think it would be beneficial to the entire board for him to be able to make a statement. There's nothing that precludes the board from allowing that, and I think it would be in everybody's best interest.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask you to keep it short. I understand, Marty, you've objected. Your objection's noted. Go for it, Mr.
Okay, just two things I would like to state. It was mentioned today about how many outdoor seats were approved for Tommy's, and I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that in the front, on August 1st, the day I counted them and took pictures of them, on August 1st, 16, he had 80 seats in the front, and in the rear, he had 60 seats. That's a total of 140, a lot more than whatever the number was mentioned that he was approved for. The second thing about somebody brought up about why not, I guess it was our attorney, why not have the bocce court on the south end instead of the north end? Well, 2 years ago, when it was there, and the noise was unbearable, and the noise from the cornhole games is pretty unbearable too, at about 11:30 at night, I went out, and Mr. Von Figler was there, and I said to him, you know, why in the name of God did you put that bocce court on that end when there's nothing on this end except parking lots? And he said to me, because that's where I'm going to put my tiki bar. So one of my fears is that next year we'll be here looking for approval for a tiki bar. And that's my statement.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the public? Please state your name for the record.
Regina Makowitz. I own 2 Rumson Road. I'm in the same situation as them.
Okay. Here we go.
This is why I object. We understand that, you know, we're going to let you speak. Please, you don't need to repeat everything that's already been said.
Make your point.
Let's move on.
At the last meeting, the attorney for the Nautilus.
Well, Steve, you're saying it's your attorney.
No, I misspoke.
This is just, you're compounding the issue. Sure. That's why people hire attorneys, because they have a mouthpiece.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, can you look at this into record then for me?
No, go ahead.
It's probably going to be quick.
Do it. What do you have?
Okay. Last meeting, there was a picture shown to Tommy about a signage in the back, which he does not have permission for. And
you have a point?
And here's my pictures. And he said that it was a summer sign. He took the sign down. This is from October 4th when I took the picture. It was still there. This was from today.
You're marking 2 pieces of evidence. What's your name? I'm calling it RM1.
Thank you.
2 photos.
Right. So the sign that he said was a summer sign.
Bring them up. We're not asking for him to discuss it. This is what you're introducing.
Thank you.
You don't.
Can I have your name, please? Regina, R-E-G-I-N-A, Makowitz, M-A-C-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z.
So RM1 A and B.
Anyone else? Sorry, Terry, what was that?
RM1 A and B, 2 photos.
RM1 A and B?
Yes. photos of signs. Tommy's, let me just ask you this. Ms. Mackowitz. You, Ms. Mackowitz. Ms. Mackowitz.
Yes.
Did you take these photos?
Yes.
When did you take them?
I took one today at 3:11. It's marked on the photo.
Okay, so I'm going to, so you've stated today, that's RMA you took today, and then RMB, it was October 24th is what you're saying? That you took
No, it was October 4th.
I'm sorry, October 4th. Right. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else in the public? Last call. Not the public portion is now closed.
Okay. And I am going to say, anybody that's with Nautilus that you have things and stuff you want to introduce for them at the next meeting, please discuss it with, you, with Mr. Lapari. You've all acknowledged that he's your attorney. You need to go through him.
I have ten, one more witness, Mr. Chairman. I know you're not going to proceed to see. No. Just so you know, schedule going forward. The 10th of January.
Oh, what did we say? 24. No, no, no. We only have one thing. Put in the reorg.
I will be here.
24.
No, I probably won't be here either. I don't know how you might do that.
I'll
be here for that. What's our first one that we're doing?
I can be here is January 24th.
I thought you were retired.
That's my problem. I'm coming back for this hearing on the 24th. I have to finish that case. I have a couple holdover cases.
You just Ron, you have witnesses, correct?
Yeah, right.
You have witnesses?
Yes.
You have to
yes.
Well, it's going to have to be the 24th.
True, though.
Mr. Chairman, I have one comment.
Yeah.
There's been new evidence and new plans submitted tonight that are not part of the record. So I think the applicant has to put together a new set of engineering plans showing the town information that was submitted by the town engineer. And then, because that still has to be graded, it has to be figured out in terms of drainage. And if it affects the architectural, that should be submitted too. If it doesn't, then stay with the same architectural plans.
Okay.
And they should be submitted 10 days prior to the next hearing.
They don't have to be submitted 10 days. Under the law, they do not have to be submitted 10 days.
These aren't their plans, by the way.
We will endeavor to do that.
We will endeavor to. Very hard
to let the record show that this application will be carried to January 24th with no further notice. January 24th with no further notice.
Thank you for your time and consideration, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Happy
holidays.
Your last
another holiday
this party. Pardon?
You'll be retired next Christmas.
That's a
compliment.
Yeah, very right.
Almost.
This is one.
Yes. I only have a question on why there's so many Thursdays all of a sudden. I know we agreed to do some Thursdays on emergency situation, but you're listening to Matt. You don't have to hold them on Thursday. You're just making it.
I just advertise it to
But you were going to schedule.
I never
just
scheduled
Tuesdays.
Yes.
Correct.